Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went out along the sea. All the crowd came to him, and he taught them. As he passed by, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the customs post. Jesus said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed Jesus. And while he was at table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners sat with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. Some scribes who were Pharisees saw that Jesus was eating with sinners and tax collectors, and said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus heard this and said to them, "Those who are well do not need a physician, but the sick do. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Throughout this first week of Ordinary Time, the Church has us ponder, with the help of the beginning of St. Mark's Gospel and the letter to the Hebrews, the power of the Word of God. God had spoken to us in so many ways, through nature, through the prophets, etc. But finally, He spoke to us His definitive Word in His Son, through whom He had created all things. Jesus came in the world not only as God's messenger, but as God's message. And the message, as we've been hearing all week, is a powerful one. Jesus didn't just come to give us a pat on the back. So you guys are fine. I'm okay. You're okay. We're all okay. Isn't it great? Kumbaya. Jesus came into the world with a message of redemption. And that was performative language. He was going to bring about the redemption in Him who was and is the Word. And how is that redemption going to happen, as we've been hearing this week? It's going to be happening by Jesus taking on our flesh, leading us through suffering and through death to the glory of the children of God. Not freeing us in this world from suffering and death, but leading us precisely through them both to heaven, to the eternal promised land. Because, as we spoke about, suffering and death are both part of the medicine we need. Suffering, when we suffer, makes us humble, and we need to be humble to be saved. We need to let others care for us. We need God's help. Second, when we see somebody else suffering, it gives us that choice of whether we're going to be an egocentric spiritual loser, like the Levites and the priest passing by the wounded man on the other side of the road, or whether we're going to be touched and become, like Jesus, a good Samaritan, draw near. We need suffering as our medicine. We need death, because death is the great teacher. We're not God. In this world, we will not live forever. Our choices matter. It also makes us throw ourselves on the Lord, who is so much greater than we are. Jesus is preaching to us that word by His words and by His body language. So we've heard over the last few days that message. If today you hear the Lord's voice, don't harden your heart to it. Accept it. Don't reject it. And now we come to today. After that whole big introduction, it says, the Word of God, and by this we mean two things, Jesus, and what Jesus says. The Word of God is alive and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart. The Word of God, Jesus and the words that He says, are alive. Those words are present tense, not past. Effective. They're able to bring about what Jesus says. Let there be light, and there was light. As we heard early this week, come out of him. And the demon leaves. Or as we heard yesterday, your sins are forgiven. And rise, take up your mat, and go home. And the paralyzed man was cured. Effective. When Jesus says through his priest, this is my body, it does what it says. When Jesus says through his priest, I absolve you from your sins, it happens. It's effective. Then it's precise. More precise, it says here, than a two-edged sword, which was the sharpest sword in the ancient world. We would say than the most precise razor blades or surgical instruments. It's able to get down deep in between our interior contradictions. It's able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart. Jesus knows when we rise, when we sit. Jesus knows it all. He can't hide anything from him. And finishes, no creature is concealed from him, but everything's naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must render an account. That's the power of the Word of God. He knows us. He knows every little thing about us, and he comes into the world alive, effective, precise, and penetrating in order to get down there precisely to help us. That's why it goes on with the great therefore. Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, who's come into this world, taken on our nature, taken on our suffering, taken on our death, and risen, and pass through the heavens. Let us hold fast to our confession. We've got nothing to be afraid of, in other words. For we don't have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been similarly tested in every way. The word there for test is tempted. Someone who suffered every single temptation we have ever suffered, but never caved in to any of those temptations. That's our high priest. He's able, in a sense, in his humanity, to discern the thoughts and reflections of our hearts because he's had them. He's been tempted by them. And so he knows precisely how to deliver the medicine we need. We do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who's been tempted in every way, yet without sinning. So what are we supposed to do as a result? Because of all of that, let us confidently approach the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace for the help we need at every moment, for timely help. Because Jesus understands it all, because he's come to suffer with us and show us how to suffer in a holy way, because he's come to die for us, to show us how to die as Passover so that we pass into the eternal promised land with him, because he has come precisely to take away the sins of the world as the Lamb of God, we should approach that throne of grace. We should approach the Word of God. We should ask that Word to help us become fully alive, to allow that power of the Word of God fully to change us by really hanging on these words and becoming living commentaries, by recognizing it's got the power to separate us from our sins, the power to understand every thought we have even before we recognize what we're thinking, and to help us to unite it to him. That's the great Christian confidence. But notice what the letter to the Hebrews doesn't say at the end. Since we have this great high priest who's done all of this for us, it doesn't say, rejoice, be merry, don't go to confession. Nope. It says, let us confidently approach the throne of grace to receive mercy and to receive grace for timely help. You recognize that when you go to confession, you're approaching God's almighty throne. That is the throne of his mercy and grace for the help you need in life. The help you need today, the help you need every week. You've got to approach with confidence because this is what Jesus has done. The power of the Word of God helping us to approach the throne of grace and mercy. Two illustrations of it today. The first is from the Gospel, Levi, or whom we call Matthew, because he recounts the same scene in his own Gospel, in which it's the Gospel of St. Matthew. Jesus came to him and he was surrounded by all his money, all his temptations, to place his trust in Mammon, even to the ignominy of Jewish culture, where they all considered him a traitor for working with the Romans. Jesus, with that sword-like word of God, comes into the room and says, "Follow me." And he leaves all his money on the table. He gets up immediately and follows Jesus. Follows him how? Follows him to the throne of grace and mercy. Matthew was an incredible sinner. But when the king came and said, "Come," he got up. And then he started to bring all his friends to that throne of grace and mercy. All the other tax collectors and sinners and prostitutes and everybody. He threw a party so that they would be able to meet Jesus, and so that the divine physician could do that same surgery with the acuteness of the blade of his word and his entire saving mission. That's what they received. A lot of people didn't want Jesus to be that type of Messiah, to bring that type of healing, especially to sinners. So they were complaining, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus gave something we've got to grasp. Told us those who are well don't need a doctor. It's the sick who do. "And I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." If we're going to receive a Christian vocation, which is a vocation to be a saint, our qualification is to recognize we're sinners in need of a Savior. If we don't recognize that, we don't recognize Christianity 101. I'll repeat that. If we don't recognize that we're sinners in need of a doctor, that we're mortally wounded, worse than a stage 4 cancer patient needs chemo and radiation to survive, we need the Lord Jesus and we need His mercy. If we don't grasp that, we don't grasp Christianity 101. Do we need Jesus? If we recognize we need Him, we recognize because we need to be forgiven and strengthened. We need His timely help in all our days. It's the first lesson we learn in the gospel. Jesus does call, says to each of us, just like He said to Matthew, "Follow me." And He wants us to approach His throne of mercy and to bring others like Matthew, our friends, our family members, especially those who haven't been to confession for a long time, to that same throne. And today we celebrate the feast of St. Anthony the Great, often called St. Anthony of the Desert, because that's where he spent most of the rest of his 106 years, from the time he was 20. But when he was 18, he went to church. He had routinely been going to church, but his parents had just died. So he was opened a little bit more to the need for God in his life. And that day, he heard the rich young man in church. And how Jesus said to that rich young man, and Anthony was rich in land. He wasn't rich in education. He had never really received much education, but his parents had left him lots of property. He heard what Jesus said to the rich young man, "If you wish to be perfect, if you wish to come fully to life, go sell what you have, give the money to the poor, and you'll be rich in heaven. And then come follow me." And Anthony didn't blow off those words. He knew those words were alive. He knew they were powerful. He knew that they were cutting through exactly what his big problem was. And so he literally did it. He sold his property. He gave some to some of the family members, the distant family members. He used some for a dowry for a sister to get her into religious life. And then he gave the rest to the poor. And he went out into the desert for the last 8.5 decades of his life, praying and doing battle against what was on the inside. It's a powerful word that moved him. He was constantly approaching the throne of grace and mercy for timely help. Because even when he was outside, kind of like what had happened to Job, God allowed the devil to come after Anthony with all types of terrible temptations. But Anthony continued to battle, confident in the Lord, tested almost in every way. He passed, with God's help, most of those tests. So now it comes to us. The Lord wants us, each of us, to be an illustration of the power of His Word. Wants each of us to heed it, like St. Matthew and St. Anthony of the Desert did, and to really show the entire Word the living, effective, precise power of Jesus and the words He speaks. Today, as we come forward to this Mass, we approach, in a sense, Him who is seated on the throne of grace and mercy, who wants to give us today the help He knows we're going to need to live this day the way St. Matthew would after his conversion, the way St. Anthony did after his conversion. The Word of God has the power to make us another St. Matthew or another St. Anthony of the Desert. Let's let the surgeon go to work.